Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be back here once again. We're back to our twice a week recordings as we talk about week seven. We talk about waiver wire pickups. As usual, Jimmy's over in Phoenix and Jed is over in the suburbs of Chicago. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Well, hey, before we start, let me ask you guys a question. Did you watch the return of the Payne and Eli broadcast last night?
Oh, I missed it. Was it good?
They had some really good guests on that show last night.
Yep. Drew Brees came on toward the end. And for the last couple minutes at the fourth quarter, he did a very, very good job. I enjoyed the Drew Brees interaction with the two guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to hear, because I have not enjoyed Drew Brees on the NBC pickup. I feel like he hasn't been good on set. He's been really stiff. Yeah. So maybe he's starting to loosen up a little bit.
And then Tom Brady was on it as well, too. Yeah. Wow. They got Brady, Lynch, Sue Bird, and then also Drew Brees.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but they got in trouble with Lynch because he kept swearing. And so they had to apologize after he left because he was just swearing so much. And they said, hey, look, it was not our intention, so we apologize. And then he blamed Eli for egging him on the entire time.
I'll have to watch the reruns.
Hey, you know what? Let me go through a couple of things. Breaking news as well, too. Adam Schefter reports that the Packers have placed star wide receiver Davante Adams on the COVID-19 list. They played this Thursday. He probably is going to be out for this game.
That's why Lazard was such a hot pickup. I was wondering why everyone was picking him up. So Lazard had a touchdown in the last two games. And so then that's a nice pickup, because where is all the passing going to go? So
they said if they were to play Sunday, Adams would play because of COVID protocols and he's been vaccinated. But because if it's Thursday, there's a very, very slight chance he could still play, but most likely he will not play because they doubt that he'll be able to pass the COVID vaccine test by then.
Wow. And that's against the Cardinals too. That's a big one.
Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of times Aaron Jones will do a lot of running. A Scatling Cobb. I would not be surprised if Cobb suddenly does pretty well during this game.
Yeah, you're right. Cobb is definitely. And then who's the tight end again? Is it
Tonyan? Tonyan.
Yeah, Tonyan. That's right.
Tom, isn't Scatling? They said Scatling's not doing well, injured or something like that, right? I think that's why he hasn't been around as much.
Yeah, I could see Tonyan getting a bunch. And then also, you're right. Rodgers really likes Cobb, so I could see him focusing on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, another thing is, Zach Ertz. I mean, he scored his first touchdown as a Cardinal. I still remember when Jimmy told me to pick up Zach Ertz. I was walking around Disney World. He says, go pick up Zach Ertz, because he was just traded to the Cardinals. Look, I mean, if you look at the Cardinals right now, A.J. Green, Zach Ertz, J.J. Watt, if this was five, and James Conner, if this was even 4 years ago, you have an all-pro, all-star team right there.
Yeah, they're coming around. Hopkins finally is coming around. So I think Green is still, I don't know why. I know he's done okay, but I feel like he's just up and down. Like, he has some great weeks, and I feel like he's still not an every week starter. It's still too variable, but it was good to see Hopkins come back a little bit.
Jim, have you realized, in your mind, has James Conner succeeded,
Chase Edmonds?
No, because if you look at the number, I mean, I think Connors is getting a lot of the touchdowns, but Edmonds is still getting the bulk of the carries, and he's still getting his points. This week, they were pretty even. So I think both running backs are doing pretty well right now.
Yeah. Cleveland, Odell Beckham, not planning to undergo surgery in season. Look, I've seen everyone drop Odell Beckham. Jed, are you even giving this guy a chance, or say, forget it, just keep him on the waivers and that's where he's going to stay?
I haven't seen him. He hasn't been dropped in my league. So,
maybe it's not the ones where.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've seen him dropped in a couple of leagues.
I mean, I would play him as a flex. I wouldn't have a problem playing OBJ as a flex. The issue there is the quarterback. Right, mm-hmm. Without Baker Mayfield and with what was his name?
Case Keenum is not bad. Remember what he did in Minnesota?
Yeah, with Keenum. That's the thing, is you got it. I mean, how much do you trust Keenum? So I don't know. I don't feel like, I think OBJ belongs on a roster. I don't think he belongs on a waiver wire.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, my Dearness Johnson won me a couple games this past week.
Oh, that was a huge pickup. I was deciding between D'Ernest Johnson and Rashard Penny, and definitely D'Ernest Johnson was the guy to go with. Especially, it makes sense if you had a thought about it, because without Baker Mayfield, they would have focused more on the rushing game, and so it made sense that he, you know, they really had to give him the carries, and boy, he looked good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, especially with Kareem Hunt now out for a couple of weeks, Nick Chubb might still be out for a couple of weeks. D'Ernest Johnson might help you out. Hey, look, we just came back from a terrible bye week. Things should get back to normal this week, but this past week was, it just was not pretty. Week seven was when so many teams were on bye.
Yeah, we're also getting Jarvis Landry back too, the Browns. Yeah. So he should do pretty well.
Are there teams on bye this week?
There is. Baltimore's on bye this week. That's right, Las Vegas is on bye this week. Not as many as last week, but you've got a couple teams that are on bye.
Hey, speaking of that, there was one trade. The November 2nd deadline is coming up. Joe Flacco traded to the New York Jets because Zach Wilson is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks with a knee injury.
Joe Flacco, wow. Yep. I don't know if I'm going there. I think I'd stay away from that. And that affects Corey Davis as well as the running back there.
Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful now. I don't know how many points they're going to be scoring.
No, they said Michael Carter actually should be pretty good because they're thinking that to relieve some pressure off of both Wilson as well as also for Flacco and whoever the third quarterback is, they can see Carter's what? He scored – he ran for like 30 yards, picked up another touchdown. Yeah, so I mean, I could see them actually using him a little bit more in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but where I have a problem with is when you know you have a bad quarterback like a Flacco or a White who is going to be your backup quarterback, you just stack up the line because you're going to dare this guy to throw him, and they're not going to be able to do it. And suddenly he has no running room. Unless you're an Alvin Kamara, unless you're a Derrick Henry, you're just not going to be able to do it. Unless you're a Khalil Robert, you're just not going to be able to do all these things. Yep. Hey, Jim, looking at the waiver wire pickups as well, too. Who are some of the waiver wires you're looking at this week?
Right now, I will say Kadarius Toney is out there. A lot of people dropped him this past week because they needed that roster spot. I'm just looking at it. He just moved from being out to questionable. And I actually think Kadarius Toney has a lot of really good potential out there for people. He did really well when he was out, when he was in, and all those receivers were out. The other person I'm looking at, and I'm pulling up the stats on him right now as you guys started talking, it's another New York guy, but Adam Schefter was talking about Dante Pettis. I guess Pettis had 5 targets, 39 yards, and a touchdown this past week. If you're looking for just another receiver out there in terms of
– which team?
Dante Pettis is from the New York Giants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pettis, and he scored a touchdown this past week. The other person I've been hearing from a receiver standpoint, I don't know what you guys think about. It's Bateman over at the Ravens.
Yeah, in the Ravens.
I mean, people really like him a lot.
They're on bye this week, though, so that's one tricky piece. Yeah.
I don't know. But that's the other thing. I don't know what you guys think. Sometimes when there's a bye, right? So the other person that I'm looking at is Kenyon Drake. Both of them are on byes this week. People aren't paying attention to these teams because if you look at the waiver wire right now, everyone's focused on Lazard. Everyone's focused on who else is a big Scott from Philadelphia.
Miles Sanders went down.
Right? And so a lot of people are going to be focused on them and going after them. Sometimes I like to go after the players that are on bye because you pick them now, no one else is going to get them. So, yeah, I'm going to go target the Lazards and the Scotts and the Gainwells of the world. But if they're not available, there's a couple of other people that are out there that I wouldn't mind getting. Right. So for me, it's Kenyon Drake would be one. Honestly, I don't know about you guys, but I'm also paying attention to Deshaun Watson. He might be a flyer you might want to take as well, too. I mean, even if you don't need a quarterback, I think if he comes in, right, the word is right now that he's going to play. The NFL can't do anything to him. And he might do really well, and he could be some trade bait for some other team that might need a quarterback.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you're at, too. Like, if you're in first or second, you definitely don't have to make your waiver wire pickups for the following week. Like, you can think to pick up someone that's going to pay off 2-3 weeks down the road. But if you're in desperation mode, like in the league I'm in last, like, you can't do that. You have to play for the week. And you want to swing for the fences. So I do, with Miles Sanders out in Philly, I know people are looking at Scott and Gainwell. I'm actually not huge fans of either options. Mm-hmm. So I would look elsewhere if you're looking for a running back pickup. The one I will mention is the tight end in Cincinnati.
Zoma. Mm-hmm.
So some people say that it's like a little bit of a flash in the pan because he had 2 touchdowns this week, and then I think he had 2 touchdowns either the week prior or 2 weeks before. But I really like the Cincinnati offense. I feel like, you know, Joe Burrow is really settling in. That offense is coming around. And so, I love having players on the best teams. And so I feel like that's not a bad move.
Well, to that point, the other person who's out there right now, I don't know what you guys think about him. Michael Gallup is coming back from the IR. And, you know, when he played last year, he was actually pretty good. I do know it's crowded because of Cooper, Pollard. You've got CeeDee Lamb. But Gallup as a third receiver actually will get some pretty good points for you, I think.
Yeah. Hey, wait, look, what we saw Kyle Pitts really ran off and just caught a lot of different yard, get a lot of yardage. Calvin Ridley got a touchdown, but did not get very much yardage. Jed, what do you think of Russell Gage? Yesterday, he had 6 targets, 4 catches, 67 yards, and 1 touchdown. And it was a long touchdown as well, too. Is he somebody that you're interested in, Russell Gage, especially with Calvin Ridley struggling?
Well, I'm really happy for Kyle Pitts. For all you Kyle Pitts owners, you know, if you are patient, it's now paying off. And that's kind of what we had said all along, was when it comes to rookies, you got to wait for the second half. I actually think, Tommy, I think that what's going to happen is with Kyle Pitts getting better and better, it's actually going to really help Calvin Ridley. And I think Ridley is going to have a good second half. So Ridley, to me, is a target right now for trades, because I think he's at his low point and you should be able to pick up some value for him. So with that, with Gage, you know, I think Gage is more of a flex, you know, basically a week to week. If you need a bye week fill in, I think that's fine, because I feel like the Atlanta offense is coming around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing, I don't know if you guys have noticed. So this past week, Cordell Patterson had 19 touches, and Mike Davis only had 4 touches. And so you're going to see that, honestly, Patterson has become their number one lead back. The other thing to monitor is Mike Davis actually walked out of there injured. So I think people are just paying attention to this, whatever that means. I just don't think that Mike Davis is fantasy relevant anymore.
Yeah, Patterson has been one of the huge surprises of the season. I mean, he's with the wide receiver and running back designation, he's easily been a top 10, you know, weekly starter. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. One person that everyone actually seemed to like because of his connection with Sam Darnold was Robbie Anderson. But look, last week, 3 catches, 14 yards. The week before, 3 catches, 11 yards. The week before that, 2 catches, 30 yards. Everyone's dropping him. Not to say you're going to prioritize him on waiver. Is that somebody you're looking at because he's so available on waivers? Or you're going to say, just drop him, forget
it? No, I actually had him in a couple teams. I dropped him. And I actually picked him up early on because I thought that he had a good connection with Sam Darnold. And he's done pretty well for you. But I just decided he's just not worth it. I'm just looking through the waiver wire right now. There's a number of decent receivers out there that I'd much rather pick up. I mean, even that Devontae Parker is out there in most leagues. He's so much better than Robbie Anderson would be.
Yeah. Jed, one person that also I've been looking at, this is week 2 to week 4, 11 points, 12 points, 18 points. But when week 5 to 7, 4 points, 1 point, 6 points, that's Tyler Boyd with the emergence of Ja'Marr Chase. Look, Joe Burrow is doing really, really well, but Ja'Marr Chase, and then secondarily, Uzoma, Higgins, Joe Mixon is doing well. Tyler Boyd has always been there in the last couple of years. What do you think of Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, same thing. I would say, you know, if you want to take him as a flex play, I think on a week-to-week basis, that's fine, but he's not a weekly starter because it's really a toss-up between him and Higgins. One of them is going to get points, but you don't know which one. but again, it is the Cincinnati offense, so I think if you feel like that, like, who are see, they're playing? Oh, they're playing the Jets. So Cincinnati is playing the Jets. So, you know, I think that's maybe a reason to shy away, because I expect them to be ahead and then to run the ball. quite a bit just to milk the clock. I will say that Samaje Perrin, the second back behind Joe Mixon, he's available on some waivers. I don't think that's a bad pickup at all because, you know, again, that offense should be clicking this week.
Tom, I mean, Tom, T. Higgins has not been doing that well either. I mean, he's about the same par as Tyler Boyd. So, I mean, outside of Jamar Chase, neither of them, unless you really desperately need one of those receivers, I mean, they're not really scoring. I mean, what? T. Higgins only had 7 receptions for 62 yards. Right before that, he had 3 receptions for 44 yards. So, single-digit fantasy numbers for both of them.
Hey, I will say with Jamar Chase, my wife's trade for Jamar Chase in her keeper league is looking better and better each week.
Actually, who was it for? I was just thinking that. It was for who?
It was Russell Wilson and Jamar Chase for Patrick Mahomes and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
The Mahomes.
Yeah.
The Mahomes injury, that was huge. And, you know, actually, Mahomes, I think Kansas City, that might be one of the stories of the season, right? Everyone expecting tons of fantasy points, and they just have not been clicking. So I think anyone who was banking on Holmes and Hill, it's a little bit sketchy now.
Hey, Jim, in terms of, look, Lamar Jackson is out this week on bye week. If you had to pick, is it Ryan Tannehill with both Julio Jones and A.J. Brown just doing really, really well? Look at how A.J. Brown did. Mm-hmm. Or is it Mac Jones, who did decently well? And actually, he was my bye week quarterback in many leagues. He did very, very well. Or Teddy Bridgewater. If you had those three, which one would you pick?
Who's the first one? Mac Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, and Tannehill. Was it Tannehill? I mean, who's Tannehill playing? Tannehill's playing the Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts have a pretty decent offense. Mac Jones, who's Mac Jones is playing? I think right now it really depends on matchups, right? Mac Jones is playing the Chargers. You know what? Honestly, if I were to choose one or the other, for sure it's not Teddy Bridgewater. I would choose Mac Jones against the Chargers because the Chargers is gonna they're gonna score points and Jones is gonna have to keep up. So I'm gonna choose Jones right now.
Chad, which one do you like?
Well, I was gonna say, did you say that AJ Brown had a good week? I was trying to look that up because I thought Brown was people were starting to move on from him a little bit. So
he had a pretty decent week. Julio,
that's AJ Brown. He catches 133 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. That's good because we've been waiting for him. So again, if you were patient there, that was good.
But the only thing is Indianapolis has such a good defense, though. Did you see how good those guys can be? I just think it's rough. Like, I mean, outside of Derrick Henry, maybe AJ Brown, the offense has been somewhat struggling, and Tannehill hasn't been as good as he's been. So I can see Indianapolis really piling up and getting some good rushes on him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Tannehill has been a bit of a disappointment given all the weapons he has. Mac Jones has been pleasantly surprising. You can make the argument he's been the best rookie quarterback this season.
Yeah.
Hey, look, even Damian Harris made an appearance, all right? And Damian Harris is so inconsistent. Even he made an appearance and did decently well. Hey, let's go through a couple games as well, too. Jim, I'm going to start with you. Atlanta Falcons wins 30-28 against Atlanta wins 30-28 against the Miami Dolphins. In this particular game, look, we talked about Cordarrelle Patterson, 14 carries, 60 yards. From that point on, Kyle Pitts, 7 receptions, 163 yards. On the Miami, whether or not you like him or not, Gaskin, 15 carries, 67 yards. And then also Mike Gesicki, 7 catches, 85 yards. Waddle, 7 catches, 83 yards. Thoughts on that game?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've started realizing is Gesicki is a really good player. And he's a free agent next year. So I think he's going to get paid, and whether or not he stays in Miami or not. Waddle's a good pickup. I think everyone's just trying to figure out, is Deshaun Watson going to come in, you know, before the November 2nd deadline? Because I think if he does, and he does play pretty decently, I can see a number of these players really elevating in terms of their fantasy potential. But right now, people are still suspect on Tua. It's funny because he still did decently, but people are still suspicious whether or not he's going to be a decent quarterback from a fantasy perspective.
Yep. Jed, Cincinnati Bengals 41-17 to start this game for both teams. Ja'Marr Chase, 8 receptions, 201 yards, 1 touchdown. Burrow, 416 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, though. But on the Baltimore side is, we've been talking a little bit about Marquise Brown. I mean, he's been doing okay, 5 catches, 80 yards. But then Rashad Bateman, 3 receptions, 80 yards on that one. The running back continues to still struggle with Freeman and Williams and Bell. Man, it's a disaster over there. But thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, this is, to me, the Bengals. You know, Bengals won in Pittsburgh, and then now they beat the Ravens. So this is the ascension of the Bengals in that division. I feel like the Ravens have been suspect all year, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is a blip, and then we'll see the Ravens pop back up, or if this is really more who they are. But, yeah, obviously Joe Burrow, the passing game, just super impressive. I mean, I think – you know, Burrow has really shown, like, again, last year he was doing so well until he got hurt. He's now picked back up from that. And with the addition of Ja'Marr Chase, he's just been phenomenal. So, you know, you hope it all continues. On the Ravens side, again, I just can't tell. You know, 1 week they're beating, like, you know, the Chargers and the Chiefs. And then the next week they're losing to the Bengals. So it's a tough decision. It's a tough call.
Jim, Rams, 28-19 against the Detroit Lions on this one. So for the Detroit Lions, look, there really wasn't anything. DeAndre Swift did okay. Jamal Williams continued to split carries. The one person that I did want to look at, Khalif Raymond. He had 6 catches, 115 yards in that particular game. Also on the Rams side, as usual, Cooper Kupp did his thing on that one. But other than that, I mean, Woods did okay. Henderson did okay, but that's really about it. But is Ratliff somebody that you're, Raymond, somebody that you're looking at?
No, I think we've talked about this. I'm not trusting, just as you don't trust the New York Jets players, you can't really trust the Detroit Lions players. Now, they are playing the Philadelphia Eagles next week, and the Eagles don't have Miles Sanders. And so a lot of people think that the Detroit might have their first win, but you know, the problem is Jared Goff is so inconsistent, right? Like, if you looked at the game, the first half, they actually did pretty decently. So DeAndre Swift had that big long run. They got a couple scores. But after that, like, he was just making bad mistakes. And so 1 week it was Cephas Williams or whatever his name is. Another week, you know, they're throwing the ball to Hockenson. They're just so inconsistent. And so for me, outside of Hockenson and Swift, maybe Jamal Williams. I'm not really trusting any of the other players on Detroit.
Yeah. Jed, for this one, the next one that I want you look at, Philadelphia Eagles loses to the Las Vegas Raiders. After a terrible week, the Raiders came back and scored 33 points in that game. Darren Waller went out with the ankle injury. But the one thing that I would love to get your thoughts on, Kenyon Drake, 14 carries, 69 yards, compared to Josh Jacobs, 6 carries, 29 yards. What are your thoughts on Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, I had Kenyon Drake in our league just as a waiver wire pickup. So that was a total luck call. You know, honestly, I don't know how much that's going to stick. I think that was a little bit surprising. I was wondering if maybe Jacobs is still a little bit banged up, and that's why we saw a little bit more of the split. I do think the Waller injury is definitely a big one, though. That could have a huge impact to where you could see the Raiders focus more on the run game, which brings Kenyon Drake back into the mix. And so, you know, I think he's someone to, he probably should be sitting on a bench somewhere, and then you have to make the decision every week if you're going to play him, but he probably does belong on a roster.
So to that point, I don't know if this makes a difference. I was listening to Schefter this morning, and they were saying that Waller's injury isn't as serious as they thought. He essentially stepped on another player's foot during practice. They thought he could play, but it was a game time decision. They decided to put him out, rest him up for a bye week, and he should most likely come back the following week. He did say that the person you want to be a little bit more worried about is Josh Jacobs. He has a chest injury, so no one really knows what that is. But he's also saying that this new regime is really liking Kenyon Drake, whereas John Gruden essentially tossed him to the side. So he did say, from a fantasy perspective, pay attention to Kenyon Drake, because the new coaches do really like him a lot.
I do like a Kenyon Drake quite a lot.
I will say, I mean, I think the Raiders, pretty impressive response, you know, after losing their head coach, you know, winning twice. And so I think the Raiders are a good team. You know, I think they're a legit team, and they've shown they can weather this adversity. And so if you can get some of those points, I think it's a good team to play with.
Maybe Gruden wasn't as good of a coach as we all thought he was.
I didn't think he was a good coach to begin with. So,
yeah.
Hey, look, the jury saw whether he's a good talent evaluator as well, too. Jim, Tampa Bay 38, Chicago Bears 3, terrible game. The only one that I really want to highlight and get your thoughts on, Khalil Herbert, 18 carries, 100 yards. With Damian Williams coming back on from COVID-19, David Montgomery still a couple weeks away. Herbert is your clear-cut starter, but is Damian Williams somebody you're interested in potentially on waivers? And on the Tampa Bay side, look, I mean, Evans, we thought he was done for, but 76 yards, 3 touchdowns, especially with Antonio Brown out and Rob Gronkowski still out.
Well, so here's the thing. You can't really judge any of the Tampa Bay players because they're playing against the Chicago Bears, and the Chicago Bears are not that good of a team. With that said, though, Tom Brady is doing really well. And Tommy just posted this article that I thought was really interesting about him giving a Bitcoin to that guy who gave the ball back for his 600th touchdown. Did you hear about that?
No.
The little boy. He gave a Bitcoin to the little boy who gave because the story he throws a touchdown. Mike Evans did not realize that was his 600th touchdown or whatever it is. Yeah. So he threw it to a little boy, and then they told him, wait, that's his 600th touchdown pass. And then later on, Tom Brady goes and gives him a Bitcoin.
I didn't think it was a little boy. I thought it was a
guy. They showed two pictures.
Yeah.
The second person Mike Evans threw the ball to was a little boy. The first one was like, you know, a regular young adult guy. But I guess for him, when they asked him for the ball, he didn't fight them. He didn't ask for anything. He just gave it back. And so I think as a result, they gave him like season tickets. They gave him a signed jersey. And Brady yesterday announced on the Peyton and Eli show that he was giving them a Bitcoin as well, too.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's $67,000.
Yeah, but they were saying that football for the 600th catch was probably worth $500,000.
Well, it's because no one in the history of the NFL has ever had 600 touchdown passes before.
Yeah. Yeah, so they said they estimated it was worth $500,000. So if you got a Bitcoin, that's actually, you know, not as good.
All right. So, Jed, if you caught that pass, would you have given it back?
I definitely would have given it back, but not for – he originally traded it back for just a signed jersey and then a signed ball. So I was like, he definitely made a mistake in giving it. I would give it back, definitely. I don't think any player – Any fan should keep a player's like accomplishment, but you should hold out for something really good.
Yeah. Well, even yesterday, if you watched the Brady thing, Brady even said that he's like, he lost all leverage when he gave the ball back to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have held out for lifetime suite.
I don't think you would get that.
But going back to fantasy, Khalil Herbert has actually turned out to be a decent running back. Double fantasy scores in the last 2 weeks. Even with Damian Williams coming back, I think that Khalil Herbert is going to remain the starter or have a big role in the offense. The question then becomes, what happens when Montgomery comes back to all of these guys?
Yeah. I trade Montgomery, but that's just me.
Who said that? Somebody was talking about that. Oh, it was on a Dan Patrick show. They were debating whether or not you should trade David Montgomery. And I think one of the Peter King or somebody says Bears should do that. Keep Khalil Herbert and trade Montgomery. But then they were also said, knowing the Bears, they'll even mess up that trade.
Jed, last game that I want to look at, Indianapolis Colts, 49ers, 18. In that particular game, look, Jonathan Taylor has been doing really, really well the last couple of weeks. Even Michael Pittman has been doing decently, 4 catches, 105 yards on the San Francisco. I will say I really do enjoy when Garoppolo plays because then my Elijah Mitchell starts going off. I mean, it was 18 carries, 107 yards, and 1 touchdown. I really enjoy because the running game for San Francisco is so good. And when they have a throwing quarterback, the running backs do really well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a great win for Indianapolis. And, you know, I think Pittman is totally legit. I think even with Hilton back, he showed – if you watch that game, Pittman really won, I would say. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was obviously a major portion, but Pittman had two huge catches. One that got was a penalty pass interference that got him down to the goal line, and then he had the other one, but that was a catch for the touchdown. So I think he is a legit star, even if Hilton comes back. Jonathan Taylor has looked great. I was totally wrong on Taylor. He's looked super shifty, just great burst of speed. I think that is a great team to be following and to see.
Yeah,
you know, like a T.Y. Hilton, you know, he's going to get points there. You know, as long as they have good matchups, he's going to get points. I think you can look to him. And even, you know, I know Nyheim Hines has been out of favor there lately, but I would watch that because I feel like that offense is starting to pick up. And then on the flip side, I think the 49ers, honestly, I've been disappointed. I agree with you. The running game has been better with Jimmy there. And we got to remember George Kittle is still out. So hopefully he's back, I think, either in this next week or the week after. But honestly, the 49ers have been a disappointment. I was surprised they lost the game. And so I think the 49ers season might be really, in jeopardy.
Jed Ayuk, keep him on the waiver wire.
Yeah. Leave him. And that's been another surprise. You know, before Deebo Samuels and Ayuk were almost like neck and neck. Now Deebo is clearly the number one. And Ayuk is, I don't know what happened this
season. He's regressed this year.
Yeah. He's lost his confidence or something. He's dropping passes. I would not pick him up.
He's like Evan Ingram. Remember Evan Ingram a couple of years ago was like the best tight end coming out of preseason in his rookie season, but both of them have regressed a lot in their second and third years.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is I would just remember Kittle's is out there. He'll be back. And so, you know, that could pick up a little bit.
Yeah. The other person from Indianapolis that I also have been looking at, if you need a tight end, Mo Alley Cox.
Yeah. Right? Another touchdown.
I mean, if you look at what, like he had 15 points starting in week four, 6 points, 7 points, and then 9 points fantasy. I mean, I know those are small amounts, but for a tight end, he's actually doing pretty good, you know, from a fantasy perspective.
Well, more so if you look at it, he has 4 touchdowns in the last 4 games, 2 in week 4, and then 0, and then last week 6, he had 1, and then also this past week, he had 1 touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, look, he doesn't get a lot of yards, but he sure does get a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, Jim, do you like Carson Wentz at all?
He's actually not bad, you know. So I was looking at their upcoming schedule. He's got Tennessee coming up. Then he's got Jacksonville and New York Jets, right? So if you need a spot starter, those are going to be good places to play Carson Wentz. The problem is after those 3 games, he's then going to play Tampa Bay, and then he's going to play Buffalo. So I don't think you want to play Carson Wentz those, but at least for the next 3 games, if you need a backup, who's doing pretty decently and can get you like 15 to 20 point fantasy points, he actually might be pretty good.
Got it. Hey, as we wrap up, Jed, I know that you have a meeting at 9 o'clock, but the three of us were just this past Sunday on a NBA fantasy draft as well, too. What was your strategy? Our keepers were 4. And was there a particular strategy you had walking in? Was there a player that you had to have win that draft?
Yeah, there were 3 players I was pretty focused on. So, I knew everyone was going to go after Luka, and so I knew that Luka was going to be expensive. So I wanted Trae Young, so I got Trae Young. Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted Lonzo Ball. LaMelo.
No, LiAngelo Ball.
Yeah, LaMelo, yeah. So I got LaMelo. Those are the 2 point guards that I really wanted. But yeah, that was my main. I basically was looking for young talent. I also got picked up Zion Williamson. Just, you know, I know he's hurt, but
I saw that.
Yeah, I feel like he could come around. The one I missed out on was the sharpshooter in Phoenix. You know, that was a crazy one.
Oh, Devin Booker?
Yeah, Booker went for super cheap. I like
$17 or something.
Yeah, that was the one. I was so mad about that because that was a great pick. It was just an auto draft pick, whoever got that. Yeah. That was messed up.
I wasn't paying attention to Devin Booker or Lonzo Ball. And remember, Lonzo Ball went for $2 and Booker went for $17. I was like, how did this go by so fast? I wasn't even paying attention to it.
Yeah, those were 2 really good pickups. But no, my focus was always on the guards. I wanted to focus on guard play, not big guys. But I know, Tommy, you went big with your 2 guys.
I usually do not like picking superstars, but I say, hey, look, it's a keeper draft. So I went Doncic, Jokic. Next year, it resets again to 200. I'll pick a couple more superstars, and I'll just build my team that way. Suddenly, now I have four. Eventually, in the next couple of years, I'll have four complete studs. Jokic, Doncic, and maybe. But another one that I really, really wanted is Evan Mobley, who I love. Young players, the one that I missed out on, Anthony Edwards, because I just had no more money. It just went way too much. By the end of the third round, I had $30 left, so I there was no way I could buy any more.
Well, so that's how I changed my strategy, because I was actually going to go in going after a couple of the big players. But if you notice, a lot of the people we were playing with, they were going hard after a couple of these players. And so for me, I was like, I might as well change my strategy. It allowed me to have a pretty easy, even team. So I can go after the Anthony Edwards of the world, the Brandon Ingrams of the world, the Damon Lillards and the Christian Woods of the world. But I did miss out on the superstars.
Yeah. The one guy I spent on was Jason Tatum. I just couldn't resist. He's looking really good. So that's the one guy I spent a lot of money on.
Hey, but I wrestle with that, Jed, because between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I would say I actually like Jaylen Brown more than I like Jason Tatum.
Well, Brown's cheaper, but if you look over the over time, I think Tatum is the bigger upside play, and I think he's more consistent. So I also like his designation. He's both small forward and power forward, which is nice.
The other thing about Tatum that I really do like, if you look at the free throw percentage, the field goal percentage, the points and even the assists. I mean, those are good things that he brings to the table. I was kicking myself. The Lonzo Ball for $2. We should have all jumped on that one.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I actually have the entire Cleveland Cavaliers starting lineup in my so I could use some help. I have Colin Sexton. I just dropped Garland because I said, wait, I have way too many Cleveland players.
Hey, Colin Sexton is a great player. I like him. He is finally starting to show promise after his rookie year. And so I don't think that's a bad play at all. I think Sexton is a good value pick.
Yeah. Tom, you sure you don't want to trade Mobley? I really like Mobley.
Yeah, but I like the young players. Like, I like Anthony Edwards. I like Mobley. I like LaMelo Ball. I love Nick Cunningham hasn't shown very much yet, but Anthony Edwards is good as well, too.
My pick to do really well this year, Alexander Walker from the Pelicans and also Tyler Hero from Miami. A lot of people are really high on those two players.
I had Hero last year. He was okay.
Last year he was a diva. They said this year he's gotten better. So hopefully he's matured a little bit as well, too.
Got it. Hey, one guy I was looking at, the Charlotte Hornets. One guy to pay attention over at the Hornets is Bridges. He's been doing really, really well. Miles Bridges.
He seems to have grown up. Contract extension with those guys, too.
Yep. He's averaging about 25, 26 points a game. Double-double every single night. So keep an eye on him for those who are just playing as well, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing, the Bulls. Did you see that they got skyrocketed in power rankings with the perfect record? They're actually decent, those guys.
I was so mad. The preseason rankings, some people had them in as the eighth seed in the East or the ninth. Some people had them not making the playoffs. I was like, the Bulls are a lock for the playoffs. So I'm hoping they'll get a 4 or 5 seed.
The only thing I was thinking about is, okay, DeRozan is right now doing pretty good. What if he goes down, right, from an injury? Lonzo Ball goes into these times where he just can't hit anything from a field goal percentage. So it could go down pretty fast if they're not careful. But for now, a lot of experts were saying they should trade Vujacek. And try to get a couple of younger players because he's getting old.
Yeah, well, what I like about the Bulls has been the distribution. Like, their assist totals have been really high. It's not dependent on any single star. So even if DeRozan goes down, I think they'll be fine. I think this has actually really let LaVine really kind of show who he is. Like, now that he has players around him that he can depend on, he doesn't feel like he's got to play hero ball. And now you've just got this great, it's pure basketball. Like, they're really distributing and passing the ball well. So I'm not even worried about injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus I actually like one, the thing that I like about the Bulls, they're actually playing defense. If you like it, their defense have actually not been pretty bad. They've gotten steals, blocks, everything.
Caruso is a phenomenal defensive player. And even that rookie from Illinois, I forgot his name, also is actually really good.
Yeah. All right. We're probably going to record on Friday morning. So, hey, week 7 is in the books. Tomorrow is waiver wire day, and let's see what happens when week 8. All the players who were on bye are now back to Prescott's of the world, everything like that. It should be a good week.
So, Jed, don't pick up Gainwell and Scott. Not worth it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're going to be splitting carries either way. I'd rather have, for example, I saw a lot of people drop Zach Moss and Singletary. I'd rather have either of those guys.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Either that, I think this week for me, a lot of times I'll probably hold off on the waiver wire and then just move myself up the waiver wire pickups and just see what's left afterwards.
Well, even Lazard, a lot of people are looking at Lazard, but I mean, even if Davante Adams is really only going to be out for a week, what are you going to do with Lazard after this, you know?
Yeah. Hey, seriously, I mean, let the waiver wire go and seriously consider Randall Cobb, because for 1 week, I think he actually might do pretty well.
Agree.
All right. Talk soon.
All right, bye.